Let's turn in our Bibles here this morning to the book of Galatians chapter 3. And today I'm going to read verses 10 through 14. And again, I will be reading out of my NASB, my New American Standard Bible. Please follow along with me if you have your place. Let me hear you say amen. Amen. Good. God's word says this, starting in verse number 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's pray. Father, as we ponder on this scripture here this morning, Father, let us learn more about this thing of the law, of the curse, and the doctrine of substitution that we're going to learn here today that's contained within these words. We trust that you will change our hearts today. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we continue in our expository study of the book of Galatians. This is message number 21. I have titled today's message, The Curse of the Law. And we read about that in the verses that we just read. Today's text is coming off the heels of what we discussed last week in verses 6 through 9, that it was the faith of Abraham that was reckoned to him as his righteousness. His faith, his belief, would have him inherit eternal life. And last week we talked about how the Jews thought their ethnicity. We have Father Abraham, they would shout and say. They thought that that would be reckoned to them as their righteousness, just because, for one simple reason, that they were Jewish. In Paul's case for preaching that righteousness is by faith only continues in these five verses that we just read. And for many of those people back in Galatia 2,000 years ago, and for people today, to believe that we are justified by faith alone is a huge barrier to overcome. Why? Answer, because most people believe that there must be something one must do to contribute to one's salvation. It's the works-based righteousness mentality. And here are two more examples in the Gospels where the Jews believed that works must contribute to their eternal life. The first one here we see in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And it reads and says this, and a lawyer stood up and put him, Jesus, to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And a little bit later on in Luke chapter 18, verse 18, and this is the story of the rich young ruler, we see almost identical words. A ruler questioned him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? you can see a lot of similarities in the questions, one from a lawyer and one from this rich young ruler. What shall I do? You can see where both of these individuals were believing that they must perform some task to inherit eternal life. And since they were both Jewish, that task or task, whatever they need to perform, would involve obedience to the Mosaic law. Now, here in verses 10 through 14, Paul wants to show that obedience to the law not only contributes nothing to earning one's righteousness, but it's also impossible to do. In today's text, we see the Apostle Paul quoting four different scripture texts. One's in verse 10, one's in verse 11, one's in verse 12, and one's in verse 13. Let's look at those here this morning, and then we'll dig into the lesson that we need to learn from these five verses. First, verse number 10. And I have the scripture that he's quoting in bold and underline. I'll just read that part. Cursed, in verse 10, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. And he's quoting here Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. And if you have your bulletin with you, these are fill-in-the-blanks in your bulletin for today. And he's quoting Deuteronomy 27, 26, which says, cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them, and all the people shall say, Amen. So we see here in verse 10, Galatians 3:10, he's quoting Deuteronomy 27, 26. He's building up a case for why the law is a curse. Let's move on to the second one in verse 11. The righteous man shall live by faith. And here he's quoting Habakkuk, which is one of the minor prophets, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. The second verse that Paul quotes. Let's move on. In verse 12 of Galatians 3, he quotes another one. He who practices them shall live by them. And here he's quoting Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5, which says this, so you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord. So to build up his case about the curse of the law, he's quoted Deuteronomy, he's quoted Habakkuk, he's quoted Leviticus, and here in verse number 13, he's quoting Deuteronomy again, this time chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. But what does he say in Galatians 3:13? Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So let's see where he gets that. Let's go back to Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read this entire passage here this morning. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day, for he who is hanged is accursed of God, so that you do not defile your land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. So we see that Paul is quoting four different Old Testament scriptures to build his case for the curse of the law. Well, what is all this about the law and a curse? Well, let's connect those dots here this morning by investigating why Paul would quote these particular four scripture texts in this letter. And in the context, there's that word again, context of comparing faith and law, which was such a big issue in the church at Galatia. And it's actually still a big issue today. So let's go to some definitions. What is a curse? Have the definition on the inside of your bulletin, top right-hand corner. It's also up here on the screen. Curse, it's both a noun and a verb. Let's go over the noun definition. Curse, evil or misfortune that comes as if in response to imprecation or as retribution. Now, you might ask, what's imprecation? Well, I looked that word up in the dictionary, and imprecation is the word, is defined as a curse. Now, Sister Theolenda in fourth grade would be very upset with this definition because she would always say, you don't use the word in the definition of the word. Well, they kind of didn't. They didn't use the word curse in the definition of the word curse. They used another word instead. But a curse is an evil or misfortune that comes in response to a curse as part of some kind of retribution. And curse as a verb means to bring great evil upon. So we see that curse can be either a noun or a verb, and we have the definitions up here. So based on what we know now about these definitions, what is Paul saying about the curse of the law? What is the evil retribution that the law can bring? Let's look at these four verses again from Galatians and unpack these truths and answer those questions here this morning. And some of this is going to overlap. Actually, a lot of it's going to overlap. So let's start by going back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. And I'm only going to read, not the entire verse, but just what I have bold and underlined here on the screen here this morning. By all things. Curses everyone who does not abide by all things. So let's get back to those people who were basing their eternity on their obedience to the law. Question, how much of the law do I need to obey to earn eternity? Now, if you go back and finish reading that story about the rich young ruler, this is kind of where he's going with this. How much of the law do I need to obey to earn, keyword, earn eternity? And here's your answer. All of it, as he says here in Galatians 3:10, by all things. You have to obey all of it. Every last jot and tittle. And God's word tells us this in James chapter 2, verse 10. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. One cannot pick and choose what laws they feel are more important than others and just keep those to earn their eternity. Well, Lord, I've kept this one and this one and this one. No. You got to keep the entire law. You must keep the entire law. And once you break the law, you have committed what? A sin, right? And what is the punishment for sin? Well, Romans 6:23a. For the wages of sin is death. We all know this. Very familiar scripture verse. So, we break the law, and when we do, we sin. And folks, listen, important. That is the curse. failure to keep any part of the law brings the curse of death, spiritual death. What did God tell Adam back in the garden, back in Genesis chapter 2? And I'll paraphrase. Hey, Adam, you can eat from any tree in the garden except the one right there in the middle. And on the day that you do eat from that one that I'm telling you not to eat from, you shall surely die. Not a physical death, but certainly a spiritual death. Because, Adam, you broke a commandment. And that's the curse. Our next fill in the blank would say this: to be righteous by the law means one must keep the entire law. Okay? To be righteous by the law means one must keep the entire law. So let's move on to Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. And again, I'll just read the bold and underline. No one is justified by the law before God. Paul is saying that the law will never, ever, ever make one righteous. And there are two reasons behind this, and this is our next fill in the blank. Two reasons why the law will never make one righteous. Number one, you cannot keep the entire law. You will fail at some point, and so will I. And then reason number two, righteousness is not by the law. It is by faith. So, excuse me. You see where Paul is saying that if you want the law to be your righteousness, you can't do it. It's by faith. Gets back to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. The righteous shall live by his faith. So let's move on to verse number 12, Galatians 3:12. However, the law is not of faith. Well, this verse is similar to verse 10 and verse 11, but it also adds this truth, and this is our next fill in the blank. The law says nothing about faith. The law is merely a means of letting one know the ordinances of God. Beech Grove, you can look at every law that's written in Exodus, Leviticus, wherever they're written, and you won't find the word faith there anywhere. The only thing you'll find is, people, do this and do this, and don't do this and don't do this. You'll find the do's and you'll find the don'ts. You will find nothing about faith. So the law says nothing about faith. Now, I want to take a little time right here and just put a little plug in for a sermon that I spoke back on February the 5th, just about 4 years ago, on 2017. I was doing a series on the Ten Commandments, and this particular message titled Provision Through Warning will kind of help solidify a lot of what I'm saying here, at least up to this point, about why the law and things like that. So, if you have some extra time and you want to go back and listen to a rather interesting sermon, go back to this one from February the 5th of 2017, and it will help explain everything that I've said up to this point. Now, let's finish up. Let's go to Galatians 3, 13 and 14. And this is the verse about hanging on a tree. Cursed is those who hang on a tree. I'm just going to put that up there. I'll let you read it. Folks, now, this is where the theology gets really deep. So hang on. I'm going to try to explain these two verses as simply as possible. And I assure you that if I can understand this, I know you can understand this too. Now, to help explain this, I'm going to ask a series of four rhetorical questions. A rhetorical question, a question with an obvious answer. So I'm going to put the question up here on the screen, and I'm also going to give you the answer because we all know what the answer is going to be. First question is this. Is it possible to keep the entire law of God? And the answer to that would be no. And again, I'm asking these questions to build up about this verse that talks about cursed, a person cursed on a tree. Is it possible to keep the entire law of God? No. Let's go to our second question. When we break the law, which we will, of God, we do what? Answer, we sin. We commit a sin. And then the next question, we kind of answered this earlier. What are the wages of sin? And that answer is this, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But I'm going to add another word to it because it's a similar word. The wages of sin is a curse. And that is why Paul says that those under the law are under a curse. If you want your righteousness to be based on your obedience to the law, you are under a curse. Now let's look at verses 13 and 14 again from Galatians. The good news, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And our fourth and final question that we're going to ask you this morning, how did Christ become a curse for us? Answer, Christ bore our sins on the cross. Christ bore our sins on the cross. Here's where the theology gets pretty deep, so stay with me here because this is fundamental Christianity and we need to understand this. Let's go to a couple scripture verses that are going to help us out here. First, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 23b to 24. And Peter, the Apostle Peter, tells us this. He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Why? So that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross. That was the purpose of the cross, to bear our sins. Now, it does say, by his wounds you were healed. Folks, I just want to point out real quick, that does not mean that because he died for us, that this healing here is physical healing. It is not physical healing. It is spiritual healing. We have been healed from the curse of the law. Okay? So that's 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. A very similar verse. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Very similar verse. He made him who knows sin to be sin on our behalf. He bore our sins on the cross. Now, I want to make sure you know, this verse does not say that Christ sinned. No, Christ did not sin. Christ never sinned. Christ never once broke the law or any part of it. He kept the law. Listen, this is important. He kept the law for us because we cannot. And this is what is called the doctrine of substitution. Christ died in our place. Let me give you a modern day example. Let's say some guy, his name is John Doe, he committed a crime, he was found guilty, and he was sentenced to jail. Yeah, let's even say he was sentenced to death row. But you walk in, or I walk in, and you say, no, wait a second, I will take and serve his jail sentence for him. I will do that for him. You let him go, and I will serve his sentence. Well, you didn't commit the crime, did you? But you're still willing to serve the sentence. And that's exactly what we have here. Jesus did not commit the crime, but he is willing to serve the sentence for you and for me. He was never guilty of any sin, but yet he's walking into that courtroom and saying that I will serve the sentence for Mike or for Dave or for Kay or for any of us. Anyone who places their trust in him. And another scripture text from Isaiah chapter 53. Now, Isaiah 53 is a great chapter. The entire chapter is messianic prophecy. The entire chapter talking about Jesus. And it says this in verses 5 and 6. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But, great transition word, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was pierced for our transgressions, our sins, crushed for our iniquities, our sins, and the iniquity of all of us, because we've all turned to our own way, has all fallen on him. He bore the sin. He's serving the punishment that we all deserve. And that, my friends, is the theology behind the law and the curse and this thing that we call the doctrine of substitution. How Jesus bore our sins on the cross. Jesus kept the law perfectly because we never, ever could do that. He became the curse of the law. What we could never do for ourselves, he did for us. And that's why Paul uses the statement in Galatians 3:13, 14 about Christ being a curse of the law for us. So what about faith? Where does faith come into this picture? And I'm going to put Galatians 3:13 and 14 back up here. And it starts off by saying Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. We just talked about that, the doctrine of substitution. He served our penalty in our place. But look at the bold and underline. So that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We believers, true Christians, trust everything that the Word of God tells us. We, believers, true Christians, place our faith in His sacrifice on the cross. We, believers, Christians, trust He was a substitute for us. And we, believers, true Christians, trust our debt has been paid in full by what Jesus did. We have faith in the promises of God that everything that we read and know about Jesus Christ is true. And because we do, we receive the promise of the Spirit through that faith. Never by the works of the law. The salvation equation. How does one get saved? Begins with faith and faith alone. But, my friends, the salvation equation is not quite complete. There's actually a little more to it. And we need to ask this question. Do we truly have this faith that saves? Oh, you have to have this faith to save you. But the question is, do we truly have this faith that saves? And we're going to get to the answer to that question as we continue on, specifically in chapter 5 of this book of Galatians, and we'll get there eventually. But for now, we need to understand that salvation never begins with obedience to the law or relying on the law solely for our righteousness, like the lawyer did in Luke chapter 10 or the rich young ruler did in Luke chapter 18. Why? Because Paul just told us the law only brings a curse. Next week, we're going to move on, and we're going to cover verses 15 through 18. Let's go to God in a word of prayer.